It's 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's Friday, December 11th, 2020. Tom Eagle off your morning mayor at AM 1450 KMMS in Bozeman, 1340 KPRK in Livingston. And Shane Matobin, half man, half amazing, is also with me. And he's in Vancouver, British Columbia, where the Chinese are being trained. We'll talk about that
apparently,
in a minute. I think he backtracked on that. I think he may be changing his mind about they want to do cold weather training up there. So he may backtrack on that. All right. Let's see. We're on radio tomorrow, everyone. We're Tom and Shane Radio, Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. 3 hours of limited commercial interruption on the radio. And click listen now at KMMSAM.com. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to sign up or leave information or email or anything else. And you will be there. And if you missed any of our past shows, you can watch them all at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and please share that with your friends. And, of course, if you're watching us on YouTube at the moment, please subscribe, like us, and comment on our podcast. Please share that with your friends. So, we're starting to get a few people in, Shane. So, let's see. Craig, of course, is here. Good morning. Good morning, Mayor. Yeah, I'm here. Of course. Why wouldn't I be? All right. Well, our top story, of course, Hunter Biden under investigation for taxes and his dealings. Well, wherever his dealings are, I guess he's under investigation. So this is finally coming to light. The laptop thing was going on for a while, and then the election kind of overshadowed that. Then all the lawsuits and everything. But now that a lot of that's out of the way, we're back. We're back looking at Hunter again. Will this go anywhere? And Biden's brother is also being looked at, Shane.
Yeah, sort of a horrific situation, and shows you the political mess that your country finds itself in. You know, the Attorney General Barr, I think, has let the American people down in a terrible way. They started this investigation over a year and a half ago, when they got his first computer through the repair shop. And then in March, they went in with warrants to his dental office and found another computer. And the result of those computers, unbeknownst to anyone, is they tried and convicted three of his associates, and they're all in jail. None of this came out in the news. There was no, hidden person let the press know. The New York Times didn't have somebody that, knew about it. And your attorney general says it would have been wrong for him to announce any of this because of the election. He'd be charged for influencing the election. And so what do you end up with? Well, you don't end up with China or Russia, influencing your election. You know, the platforms in your country did Facebook, Twitter, Google. They all got Biden elected, and there's no cabal there, but of course there is. And it would have definitely made a difference. A lot of people changed their vote after the second debate when Trump brought it up and Biden lied about it. So basically what you have is a gangster going into the White House with a criminal family, criminal background, criminal investigation. And I give him 6 months. They'll railroad him out, and Camilla will be the first woman president of color, Jamaican, Indian, and so forth. And as you said, when we were talking before the show, whose grandparents owned slaves in her lifetime. So affair she had as a young woman in California. She's got it all. Everything they accused Trump of, she's guilty of. It's going to be great. And that'll go into the history books. And, of course, that's going to only heighten and expand the legacy of Trump because of everything they did to him. And then, for the history books to see what happened with Biden. And then, of course, Camilla. Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs. You're in for a bumpy road.
Well, I think so. Whether this thing goes anywhere or not, who knows where it's gonna go. after the 20th, it may be moot. They may not even go after it at all. Because the president can dictate who his attorney general is.
Yeah, but they have Bobulinski out there with all the emails and everything. And, when they did his, when Tucker did his first interview with him and he talked about it and he said he was at the debate and heard, listened to Biden, he said, I almost stood up and yelled liar and walked out. Mm-hmm. He should have. For the American people, he should have. Because the press would have jumped on it and had to. And it would have perhaps made a difference in the election. It's sort of, I bet that's something he will regret the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, it could be. I don't know. I don't know if it would have been picked up by the mics, depending on where he was in the place. You know, they might have heard some noise. But anyway, also apparently Bill Barr knew for months that Hunter was the subject of a federal probe and didn't say anything about it didn't want to influence the election. Well, nobody seemed to mind the ABC or the Inside Edition or whatever it was. Tapes came out in October of Trump. So I don't know.
It's all sideways now. And of course, this whole thing now, whether SCOTUS, your Supreme Court's going to take up this Texas case now backed by 19 other Secretary of States or Attorney Generals of states in your country, and over 112 Republican members of Congress have signed an Atticus brief and filed it in support of it. You know, we'll see if the Electoral Act of 1887 means anything, or a contingent election is to follow. I don't expect that that the Supreme Court will, identify that the Constitution of your country is very clear. You know, elections are held on the second Tuesday after the first Monday of November. And it doesn't say election week, month. It says election day. Yeah. And that's, verbatim from your Constitution. So therefore, at the close of, balloting in any state, that's it. You don't count anything after that. I mean, I'm not a legal scholar. I'm not a lawyer. I'm somewhat of a historian because I read a lot and I have a pretty good memory with recall. But it seems to me from all the things we've talked about and all the Supreme Court cases we've covered over the years, that would be an easy call on their part. But I don't see him doing it. As I said to you a couple of weeks ago, it's like the Dred Scott decision, and they just don't want to go there because of the way that turned out, obviously.
Yeah. So, 18 states have now joined Texas in launching the Supreme Court of the United States legal action in support of Trump's 2020 election. I don't know if the court can turn this down when you got 18 states wanting them to look at it, and you got as you mentioned, you've also got the GOP members also, 106 of those want to look at it. So whether or not this is going, I don't see how the court cannot hear it when, that many people want to look at it, at least.
Yeah, an amazing stat is that 60% of your population represented by these 18 states, are suing four states representing 8% of your population. That's a pretty overwhelming figure. Whether or not you want to look at the polls, whether they read the Washington Post, the New York Times, or the New York Post, I would think your Supreme Court justices are sitting there reading about Biden, the family, and everything, and going, "Oh my God, the guy's a crook," and they're going to make him president. They're lawyers, they're judges, they've been through all this, they've tried these kind of cases, clearly a RICO Act, clearly fraud, embezzlement, illegal wire transfers, not to mention. Failed tax reporting. And the incredible thing is it wasn't your media that discovered it. It was the Biden campaign that put out the announcement about it. It didn't come from your attorney general. Yeah. Didn't come, you know, so
it's easy to ignore, I guess, if you know, it's a unnamed source says you know, this or that. But when the person themselves come out and say, I'm under investigation for taxes or whatever, and I'm sure I'll be exonerated because, you know, I'm the son of the president, so, or incoming president, if everything goes as Biden plans. But I don't know.
You have this congressman, congresswoman, she gets on TV or her Twitter site and basically calls for armed rebellion by the military against Republicans. And
then
Nancy Pelosi immediately pulls her from her committee positions in the House. But yeah. Swalwell, you know, this guy, he's as bad as shit. We know what he's done. We watched guy ran for president and he's sleeping with a Chinese spy. Yeah. And for some reason, that's okay, you know. And then the story surfaced again about that senior senator from California who had a Chinese spy driving around. Mm-hmm. And, now people are starting to say that, you know, she's in her 80s and that she's actually seen
Feinstein. Yeah.
Yeah. Feinstein. And she's 87. Mm-hmm. And even the senator from New York, you know, with his glasses of the press is reported have said that he's had to remind her several times of conversations they've had or even in a conversation, she asks him the same question, a second or third time. Yeah. You've got this situation, you're a melting pot of people in your country watching your, leaders melting in that pot because, they have to hold on to power. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. And Donald Trump's being investigated for tax fraud, and you're okay with him. I'm not okay with Trump being investigated. I'm not okay. I'm okay with Biden being investigated. As I've said forever, if the IRS doesn't have a problem with Trump, what am I going to find?
Well, that's right. I mean, and you don't get to a billionaire cheating the government. And you don't maintain yourself in that position as a billionaire for your life and not pay your taxes. It's not worth it. The exposure is just too great. So, people, I've gone through this before and made this decision back in 1985, and talking to accountants and lawyers and all this stuff. Oh, you should go offshore. I'm going to report what I make in Canada to the government, pay all my taxes. There's no amount of money worth taking the risk of doing that. You end up losing it all, going to jail. I mean, it's absurd. And so it's one of those things, good choices, good consequences, bad choices, bad consequences.
All right. Well, let's assume for the sake of argument that the Supreme Court takes up this challenge by the 18 states and the congressmen and all of that. What do you think the chances are of it being shot down by the Supreme Court?
It's up to the Supreme Court. You have 6 of 9 justices that are conservative. You have to assume the Chief Justice won't, he'll just bury himself because, he wants to defend his legacy. So, you've got the potential of 5 out of 9 justices making the difference. Alito, Kavanaugh. And so forth. As I said at the outset, it's pretty clear in your constitution what it says, but whether these people want to realize the danger that the doing nothing does for their reputation. I mean, the legislative branch and the executive branch are just shot full of holes now with everything that's gone on for the last 6 years. So it's one of these things. It's a turning point in history in your country. Books will be written about it. The remedy they want is to delay the inauguration if necessary, or delay the electoral vote if necessary, or demand that the states actually be seated by order of the Supreme Court in their states and elect the electors and split them, you know, evenly or something to that effect, or even a harsher remedy, void any votes taken or counted after the closing of the polls. I mean, these are all the things that they're looking for as remedies, and we'll see if any of them are chosen by the Supreme Court or none at all.
Yeah. I think if it gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to uphold the election. That's my belief. I think they're going to uphold it.
Oh, you're probably right. You're probably right. I don't see the Supreme Court thinking about the country or the Constitution. I think that, you know, they're going to look at their own legacy in the polls, and you know
they're going to look at the law. I don't know if if states have the right to. I mean, look at Montana. Our Constitution says in-person voting for federal offices. And a judge with a stroke of a pen just throws that in the, you know, to the curb. And
well, it's even worse. That was taken up by the Supreme Court and they threw it under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, what's going on as far as interpretation or even, you know, where it stands as far as state rights, you know, the Supreme Court rules supreme. They can do anything they want. We've gone over it, read the sections of your Constitution. There's four of them that give them the power to do it.
Yep.
And regrettably, don't see it happening, because it just seems that it's like, you know, it's like squalor. It's, you know, it's just, don't want to go there. You know, don't want to be responsible.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's that. I don't think the fact that they're liberal or conservative has anything to do with it in this particular case. Because voting is pretty much a pretty sacrosanct thing in America. Anything that prohibits people from voting, I think they're going to come down hard against. Votes are counted, there's a winner, et cetera. I don't think they're going to overturn anything or declare that Trump's the winner, you know, because there's just too much to prove. There's too much to prove in each state,
your country's, our country's, my country has a lot of problems, huge problems. Yeah. We have a prime minister that seems to be inept. And I've said that. I've apologized over the years for his actions a number of times. Mm-hmm. But when a guy named Stone and CNN is tipped off by the FBI at 5 a.m. in his trailer with his blind wife and dogs, you know, and helicopters and boats and 20 armed men and 10 cars are videotaped, you know, hauling him out in slippers and boxer shorts, mm-hmm. you know, for a process crime, right? And he was going the next day to the courthouse to, you know, surrender himself with his lawyer, but they couldn't do that. They had to make a big show. And then this thing with Biden happens and it's buried and no one sees a perk walk. He isn't taken in. All we know is that in Delaware, separate from Durham, there's a grand jury that's looking at this. Eastern or Western Pennsylvania, there's another grand jury looking at his brother, and nothing's reported. You know, there's no, you know, secret, you know, whisperer with the New York Times or anybody. But that goes for, you know, there's got to be at least one or two conservatives left in the Justice Department. You would have thought they would have leaked. they leaked Trump's taxes. That's illegal. You know, 20-year prison, $500,000. Fine, nothing, no investigation. So yeah, it's I don't know what the end game is. I'm gonna miss being able to talk about the what's gonna be the end game here, because it's gonna be a wild one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Craig says, should be noted, we would not know about the Hunter Biden witch hunt if Hunter didn't tell us. Well, yeah, that's pretty much the case. I'd have to agree with that, because the news media certainly isn't going to report it if they knew it. But it's pretty hard to ignore it when Hunter himself comes out and starts talking about it. So,
well, Yeah, but again, here's a sad fact. When all this broke in October, the October surprise, everyone denied it. Everyone accosted anyone on the left, in the media, on CNN denied it. They came out and said it was a joke. It wasn't real. Shannon Ampour, whatever her name is, interviews a woman and says, you know, I'm a reporter, I'm a journalist, and there's just nothing here. You know, all these people are now made fools, not by a leak, not by the attorney general, not by someone, by Biden himself, who's on the transition team with his father. I mean, this is worse in Brazil. This is worse in the election in Venezuela last week. I mean, country after country, we can mention, you know, in regards to this, and it's a sad state of affairs for a great republic.
Well, it is, to find ourselves in this kind of situation, I guess, another contested election. We haven't had one for a while,
Rutherford B. Hayes in 1887. Yeah. That was the 1887, 1885, whatever it was.
Karen says, but Thomas, the election was corrupted. How can it be sanctioned? Well, that's exactly right, Karen. I believe that fully. Fraud in voting doesn't show a true representation of the citizens. So where's the representation of the people? Well, that's the issue that the Supreme Court would have to take up. And you've got four states in contention. You got Pennsylvania in there. You got Georgia and Wisconsin. Nevada, maybe, if you want to go there. So to take all that up and for the Supreme Court to determine that, there was fraud in all those states, that's going to be a monumental case to do before the 20th to present and to.
Well, not really. The way Atticus briefs go, this one's pretty detailed. You know, they've always said, show us the truth. There has to be enough information to say, you know, it would affect the election. Right. And I've reviewed the exhibits to the brief, and the exhibits are extensive. The exhibits clearly show there's more than enough votes in each of these states that are in question and would have resulted in Trump winning, particularly if, you know, it's election day is election day. And when the polls close, there's no more. You know, you don't count any more ballots after the polls close in those states. I mean, you follow the letter of the law, and people in those states, you know, elected officials, mostly Democrats with Republican houses, you know, both the Senate and the House representatives of each state, you know, made orders to, extend, and judges made orders to extend the counting. And all this is unconstitutional. Clearly, I mean, it's they're in a bat. It's a hornet's nest because there's like 150,000 in Michigan. There's 140,000 in Nevada, you know, 200,000 in Arizona. And, you know, I don't even want to get into Pennsylvania. It's such a mess. But we'll see. But like you've called this all right. You know, it's your job to call strikes and balls, and you've been right with all your balls and your strikes. So good for you. You're a great producer, director, and host. So you got this one nailed.
Yeah. Linda says, we as a nation need election integrity. So we as voters need to know our vote mattered. We will never know this if it will happen in the future. Well, and that's the big thing on this. It doesn't matter that Biden won or Trump won. The problem here is that Americans now are suspect of the voting, our most precious freedom has been tainted and tampered with. And are we ever going to trust another election again with voting machines and, suspect counties, ballots under tables, whatever, you know, whether it's right or wrong, being 20 feet away from people counting the ballots. I mean, come on. that's, that just doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit overwhelming. Linda, Mike, Karen, you know, you've been loyal supporters of ours, and we're very grateful. We always love your comments, and you're all right. Yeah. It's a distressful situation to find yourself in. You sit there as an individual, and you look at this. There's a house seat still undecided in upstate New York. The woman that the Republican lost it in 2018 and seems to be ahead. And, you know, she was ahead by, I think it was 86 votes 2 weeks ago. And then someone found, you know, just last week. Oh, we found 12 ballots in a desk drawer. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, give me a break.
Talk about in your face, you know, and turns out that, the mail-in balloting in New York ordered by the governor, what a great guy, mailed out, ballots to everyone in New York, unsolicited. And, all of these counties and cities that, you know, were responsible for tallying all these ballots, you know, that he said he was going to fund them to handle it and never did. So, I mean, it's intentional, it's organized, and it's deceitful. But, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, if not one of the three branches of your government do anything about it,
yeah,
game over, baby.
Gotta call Ghostbusters.
That's right. And the host has been a great overview of this game. It's been better than baseball.
Yeah, well, certainly looks that way. Well, moving on to other topics, we've got the gridlock on the COVID relief, and they need to pass something by midnight tonight, Shane, or the government shuts down. Rand Paul has been a proponent of that, protesting it, and wanted to shut the government down because we need a relief package. So they had a $900 billion package. It's all but collapsed. After McConnell said the GOP would not support the $160 billion in state and local funds. And again, why are we bailing out these poorly run states or poorly run cities? I mean, states can't declare bankruptcy, cities can, but states can't. So, you know, and the other thing, partial immunity for businesses, that's something businesses desperately need, because you can't come in and say, hey, I'm going to sue you because I caught COVID at your place.
Pelosi is a political monster. That's all she is. After what you heard her say this last week, it was more important that we not give Trump a win than save the American people from the pandemic and send the money. Quite honestly, there's $1.2 trillion still sitting in the House that they could. They don't need to pass more legislation. There's $1.2 trillion sitting in the House waiting to be directed by the House to remedy this thing from the last bill they passed. Dirty little secret. No one wants to talk about it. But, folks, it's there. The money's already there. Number two, she says we're not going to do this because we didn't want to help Trump. Number three, it's political because of the Senate vote on the 5th of January in Georgia. So she's trying to put Trump in a position to shut down the government so the Democrats can go, oh, they don't care. They don't care. The government shut down. And it doesn't mean anything if the government shuts down. You won't get your Social Security. Of course you will. The Social Security has nothing to do with the government shutdown. But, all these are lies, lies, lies. That's the way they play their game. And blame the Republicans so they lose both seats in Georgia. And we get it all. So that's what this is about. It clearly... what this is about. I don't see it as anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. We've talked endlessly that the government, just like we do in our own household, should have a budget. And they don't have a budget because they've got to audit all the agencies in the government, and those agencies don't want to be audited. You know, they got money. They keep asking for more and to justify it, whether they need, if worst comes to worst, if you've got a couple million dollars left over in your budget from that year, you can't go to the government and ask for less. So you spend $2 million refurbishing the offices or new desks or new desk chairs or carpet or paint the place, you know, just to spend the money.
Or toilets.
So that you, yeah, so that you can ask for more next year. Yeah. I mean, come on. it's ridiculous. If anything, they ought to put a commission that if you save money, you know, if you save $1 million, maybe 15% of that money is divided up among the people who work in that department, the thousands of employees. Give them a Christmas bonus for saving the government some money.
That's right. And Craig, I'm not talking about throwing away any votes. I'm talking about the viability of an election. It's predicated on your constitution. And if you live by the constitution, you should die by for it. You die by it. It's not any different than the 75 million Republicans that voted for Trump. And the reality, the numbers just don't match up. And so, you know, we're talking about vacating any ballots after the closing of the polls on the 3rd of November. We're not talking about throwing them away. You know, the Democrats have made it certain that that's the only kind of remedy because they've already separated the ballots from the envelopes purposely. And on and on and on. You just go read some of the briefs, Craig. It's fascinating reading, actually. It's good law. It's really good law. This deal that Texas put together, his their attorney general, it's pretty good. It's a good piece of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to your comment about the budget, you're absolutely right. It's a continuing resolution. Mm-hmm. We know from last year in September, they extended the debt ceiling until 2024. It's unlimited. You know, another run up to this election. So Biden is seated and the Democrats can get it through the House and Senate somehow. He'll sign trillions and trillions and trillions. You think your debt looks bad at 27 trillion? Wait till it's 40, because that's where it'll go.
Yeah. Greg Gianforte, our governor-elect, voted to support the ridiculous Texas lawsuit. He's in the House of Representatives still, I guess, till the 20th. So then he'll take over as governor. Voted for the lawsuit. Can't believe I voted for him. I wish I could take my vote back. Well, then you would be, if everybody wanted to take their vote back, wouldn't you be disfranchising the voter, Craig? I mean, yeah, should that be something we should, pass? If you find out afterwards that, you know, the president elect might be a crook, you want to take your vote back. The polls say a lot of folks would like to take their vote back knowing what they know now, because they didn't know about the Hunter Biden laptop. They didn't know about the Ukraine deal. They didn't know about the firing of the prosecutor because it wasn't covered on any of the outlets that liberals listen to. So, you know, you got what you deserve, you know,
the Senate did their investigation without the Biden computers, without knowing what the FBI was doing, without knowing what the Justice Department was doing in the last 18 months. They started this 18 months ago based upon, you know, what went on in Ukraine, and we know what went on in China, and they came out with a report. So, yeah. You know, welcome to your new world. China owns the Bidens, 1.5 billion. Russia owns the Bidens, you know, the 3.5 million from some woman in Moscow's, you know, oligarch.
Mayor's money. Wife or whatever, some and mayor. Yeah.
The million-dollar diamond that Biden found under his pillow in Beijing when he went there with his father, he didn't report it, and he's got to pay taxes on it. But, you know, that's where you're at. And the amazing thing is everything they've charged Trump with for 5 years, everything Biden's holding. And it's in your face. It's already out there. He's been investigated, talked about, written about, and you still all voted for him. Wow, that's just terrific.
There you go. Craig says these sore loser Republicans want to change the rules of the game after it's been played. How would that work in sports? Well, maybe you forgot Inflategate, where the Patriots deflated the balls so Brady could hang on to them. They forfeited some draft choices. And also Bill Belichick was caught taping opposing teams' workouts.
Practice.
And that cost them some draft choices. And there's penalties if you do something wrong. And that's all we're talking about. Was anything done wrong? And if it was, then we should know about it. Even if it's not enough to turn the election for Trump, we need to know if dishonesty in our voting system actually happened. And if it did, even if there wasn't enough votes to put Trump in office, we still need to know that. I mean, we otherwise our voting is useless. Why bother?
Well, you know, that great Congressman Swalwell from California got reelected, who soiled himself on TV during an interview talking about your president as a spy and working for Trump or working for Putin and on for what, a year, 2 years, whatever it was, 3 years. Knowingly sleeping with a Chinese spy who recommends someone for his staff, who's obviously a spy too, and he's on the Intelligence Committee in the House. And that's espionage. I mean, I don't know. Yep. Seems to me, why isn't he being investigated and pulled in by the, for a process crime? I mean, who sleeps with a Chinese spy and doesn't get in trouble? Well, Swalwell did. And who supports him? Nancy Pelosi, because she gets out yesterday. What did she say? Oh, love is overwhelming. Really? Yeah, that's just... That's just great. I'm telling you, you got a real mess. And I appreciate everyone listening to us. And we're not saying this to be mean or arrogant or obnoxious. We're not doing it to insult anyone. We're not doing it for the woke moment. And we're just reviewing what's being done and what's happening, what people are saying. And having a conversation about it. And we certainly have enjoyed it because it's been a real play for the last, 3 years waiting for,
what's going to happen.
But I think Trump walks away, goes to Mar-a-Lago and.
Yeah.
Everyone says, he's going to be a kingmaker. He's going to run again. And I think that's all good stuff for the press. And the reason I say that is because the only story coming out of the media with all the leaks, is that his staff is saying this and that he's going to run again. There's not been one story that says he's not considering it. So
yeah.
I think that's more likely.
Well, we'll see. 4 years is a long time. It depends on what happens, what he does during this, during that time. Melania's ready to leave. I don't think she likes the treatment of the president and, the kids and everybody else. I mean, it's open season on the whole family, which is something that hasn't been done. For past presidents, you haven't gone after the Bush twins went out and got drunk and I don't know, did some stuff, but usually the families are kind of off limits. You go after the guy in charge. You don't trash the family as well. Bobby Kennedy, you want to talk about nepotism, Bobby Kennedy being attorney general, your brother. I mean, can you imagine if Trump put his brother in? Yeah, his attorney general, come on, people go crazy.
Your sister, so,
yeah,
yeah. Anyway, I think there was a meeting already, and at the end of the meeting, I think because just based on what I've seen, I don't think Melania says a lot, but when she says something, everyone listens, and I think she waited till the end. Everyone had what they had to say. Do this, Dad. Do this, and then I think she looked at him and she said, "My love." You know, you asked me about this 5 years ago, and I said, you know, do what's in your heart. And I think you could do something for the country. And I know you want to pay it back for the success you've had, but I'm done. I'm finished. Let's go home.
Yeah.
I really do. Let's go home. Barron's 14. I don't want him to be here in the White House. From 18 to 22, and let's spend the last 4 years while he's still in high school before he goes off to college and starts his life together. And and you can go play your golf every day, which you enjoy. And you know, I can go to the kitchen and cook something. You know, whatever.
I'll go shopping. go back to my modeling. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. The Trump family is working in the White House. That's for sure. That's what Craig says. Yeah, they are. And
some of them are, not all.
Yeah. Yeah. The daughter's an advisor. I mean, come on.
No, but Eric is, and Eric's running the Trump company, so he's not in the White House.
Yeah, Eric's running the show.
And Tiffany in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Well, moving up to Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, let's go.
Invited the China's People Liberation Army to do some cold weather training. The beautiful state or beautiful country of Canada. So, this is according to secret documents published by Canadian conservative news site, which claims they were sending spies, not just soldiers. So, that's where we are.
The big deal about the story is this gentleman, he's followed in Canada quite well, and he through a Freedom of Information Act, which we happen to have too, Canadian military sent him information. And they didn't, black it out. It was right in the documents. So either it was a mistake, or he said it could have been someone that wanted it, the news out there. So that's how it came to be. It's right in government official documents. Interesting for me that they trained them in Northern Ontario, which is indeed cold. I mean, Ottawa in Northern Ontario is the coldest capital in the world. Because Red Lake in Alberta is really where, you know, a lot of this training goes on, particularly for the Air Force. But, you know, they fly the two F-35s now and the F-16s out of there. So I don't think they'd want any of those guys there. And, of course, they're spies. I mean, you know, but it even goes deeper. They've stopped the training, sent them home. But apparently, you know, our military colleges are good enough for the Chinese government for us to train their, military and lieutenants, colonels, majors, sergeants. Yeah, you know, it's got that British kick to it, and they lost that when the British left Hong Kong. So, maybe they wanted back in on that little, the British way of military.
Right, there you go.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Just read The Art of War. I mean, that's everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, isn't it always interesting that all these dictatorships, it's always the People's Liberation Army, like the army liberated the people of China. Give me a break on that one. The training was canceled by Canada's Chief of Defense, Jonathan Vance. Trudeau was displeased about the cancellation because he thought it would look like retaliation because China has two Canadian nationals imprisoned over there, Shane. And they arrested two people in 2018. And days earlier, Canada arrested the Huawei executive gal. And I guess she's still there, isn't she?
Yeah, she's under house arrest, waiting for
extradition,
being able to be extradited to the U.S. And this has gone on long. These things go through that gives you an example. I mean, it's been 3 years. It's still not gone to the courts. But she's the daughter of the owner of Huawei, who's the brother of a general in the Sichuan province, and Huawei comes back, and all the other things that Trump's done to block the Chinese from the U.S. and the world. You know, I fully expect the Bidens, being owned by the Chinese, to allow Huawei back and have access to Wi-Fi, which is hugely detrimental to everyone in their privacy in your country and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Sad thing.
Well, that's the big worry. Yeah, the 5G network that they have, it's ripe for corruption, certainly. And, you know, it's been no secret. The guy the other day in China talked about, we've got people at the top of the U.S. government. We've seen the Swalwell story. We've seen, two mayors slept with Chinese spies or whatever, that they've got folks in here. Feinstein had a driver, that was thought to be a Chinese spy, and I don't know where we're going with all this, how all this is going to play out, but. I'm at least the
the great thing I got a laugh over, because I just have to laugh now. I listen to it while I'm researching in the background, and Nancy Pelosi says yesterday, she said, do you know what it would cost and the amount of time it would take to vet everyone that is hired by the staff that's hired by the House?
Excuse me,
you don't vet these people? I mean, are you serious? You actually admitted you said that on national television. Wow.
Yeah.
You're a walking monument to democracy.
Yeah.
Well, you're terrific.
Yeah. Let's not do any background checks or anything like that. So, because that would be,
clearly what's gone on with the FBI for the last 5 years is nothing. If a senior senator from California for 20 years has a spy driving around, and that's, basic counterintelligence is the principle of the FBI as a federal agency. Mm-hmm. All right. That's number one priority, is to protect the United States from foreign espionage, because the CIA can't. Okay. They can't investigate supposedly in the U.S. That's the FBI's job. So
domestic things are off limits to the CIA. So, they're outside the borders. It doesn't look like we're going to get a COVID relief package or anything soon, Shane. So,
the money's sitting there. You know, they covered it. So, I mean, it's sad and it's true. It makes Pelosi and the Democrats look pretty arrogant when he offered them $1.8 million back in September and they turned him down. $1.8 trillion and they turned him down. Now they're talking about $600 million. Oh, that's, $100 million. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
1%.
We just pull it out of thin air, too. That's the great thing, Just pull $3 trillion out of midair and start giving people $600 a week checks while they're not working, and stay home. And if they would have kept that going, maybe the virus may have gone down. I don't know. Probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Why didn't anyone recommend $1,000 for the 69 million people on Social Security that they're entitled to some benefit? That's only $69 billion. That's a drop in the bucket.
You think so?
Why not? Provide everybody. With the idea of, saying we're sending you this money so you don't move out of your home into a retirement home, because not safe there. If you haven't been listening to the news, it's not very safe there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Let's see. In other COVID news, I guess America's deadly week, COVID fatalities, 15,000 in the past 7 days. It's pretty nasty out there with the virus. We've set new records everywhere. Everybody's wearing masks. Everybody's doing all the things they're supposed to do, but we're still spreading it like it's candy.
Since no one wants to give your president the credit he deserves, and he does, Let's be reminded that Fauci and, you know, Madam Scarf, you know, they walked into his office in beginning of February and said 2.2 million people, Mr. President, are going to die from this. And they were clogged up and overwhelmed by the H1N1 flu last season. We went through the numbers and everything in the hospitals was used up because of that. So, yeah, it's actually, again, medical books will be written about this and historical medical stories will be written about how you managed to survive your situation and your medical system didn't collapse. I mean, it is a salute to the people of your medical system as it exists today. Will it change? Will it become socialized? You know, Medicare, who knows? But, you know, what it's managed to do in the last year, because we're coming up on a year pretty quick here. You know, by the time he leaves office, it'll have been a year. But,
yeah,
and it's pretty remarkable. We've got the approval by the FDA 18-member board. Oh, and they still have to send it to the FDA and, you know, the people at the FDA to make final approval. Again,
what a deal.
You know, no one covers this. No one.
So stupid, you know, that they're, well, first of all, they got the, well, they got a 6-week waiting period after they do the final trials. They wait 8 weeks to make sure that nobody's got side effects or, you know, nobody dies or whatever. And, you know, they should either suspend
that all ended in October. So, I mean, they, you know, the emergency use request.
Yeah. This thing should have been
the emergency use request. Well, no, but the problem is in October, they asked for an emergency use request, you know, like it's an emergency use, please provide it, not approve it. Mm. But, you know, they didn't approve an emergency use because they didn't want to give the win to Trump. I mean, and that's one of his own agencies. So that's how corrupt your government is. That's how corrupt the entire system is. And they're the responsible. They're responsible for all the deaths since October, the FDA. And all the swamp people, Democrats, whatever you want to call it, running the FDA that have been embedded by Obama and Bush and Clinton for the last 20 years, you know, they're responsible for all these deaths. And but, you know, there's no accountability and they keep delaying it. You know, they're working night and day. Really? We were told, what, 3 weeks ago? Oh, well, they're not meeting for another 2 weeks. What?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, how insane is this whole thing? Now you've got, of course, the problem, as we have discussed, the efficacy of these, and people are already having reaction. And, you know, they're going to highlight however many there are.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of doctors out there on the internet warning people not, you know, the nature of this is too dangerous for your DNA. And what it can do to your different systems of your body, particularly the nervous system and your circulatory system and your digestive system. And the side effects are too great. It's like, you know, why doesn't Pfizer have an ad on TV for the vaccine like they do so many other drugs saying, got to take this. This is great. Talk to your doctor. And it's great, great, great. Oh, and the side effects are, oh, you could have a stroke or your digestive system could shut down or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's.
Well, they have to do that legally. They have to do the side effects. That side effects are often worse than the drug itself. But I forget the exact numbers. It was something like 136 people out of 119,000 had an issue, had an issue with it. So I know Danes was one of the test groups. He's had it.
So. Good on him. I mean, that's great. He's a senator. He doesn't want to get sick. I get that.
Well, I don't know that it's a matter if he wants to get sick or not, but he's willing to
Nancy Pelosi's neither funded or set up any protocol on Capitol Hill for the House or the Senate with regards to COVID folks. They have no guidelines. They have no, you know, they didn't organize anything. You know, the task force of the Vice President Pence tried to offer help in suggesting, so did the CDC. And she said, nope, this is my house. Get out of here. Yeah, I don't want you to have anything to do with my house. I'll do what I want. Well, what's she done? Nothing. So that there you go. That's her position. That's the party. Nothing. Yeah.
Well, I have mixed feelings about the distribution of this stuff. You know, I've been in the military, and I know what the military can do when you move something around. You know, I mean, we've, you know, in Vietnam, we moved three times, I think. So we know how it's done. You know, everything is made to be moved. So everything you pack goes in a certain place because it's there to be moved. So that's what we do. But boy, if the military is going to distribute this, obviously they're already paid. So we don't need to appropriate money for the military here to, you know, to do that. I mean, we got privates all over the place that are more than happy to haul stuff around to various places. So the logistics of it, you know, anytime the government touches anything, it turns to crap. So that's my concern here. You know,
well, I guarantee you one thing. If Biden takes office by April, if it's turning out to look good and it's going to have good results, he'll take credit for all of it, and it'll be his success. And he'll tell everyone we survived a dark winter. If it doesn't, it's all Trump's fault. He rushed this too quickly. People are dying. Now he's killing more people. So that's the way it's going to go. That'll be the narrative, one or the other.
It's a win-win. Oh, let's see. Anyway, Linda says, Craig, Shane and Tom know what they're talking about. Absolutely. Of course we do.
That's right. Thank you, Linda. You're wonderful. Love you, darling.
That's right. She's great, isn't she? All right. Let's see here. We got a couple more stories we got to cover here before we run out of time. The carbon dioxide emissions fell 7% in 2020, Shane, because everybody stayed at home. No, people drove less. They were sitting around their homes. So I guess AOC is going to have to give us another couple of years before it's, we're beyond the brink. There's no turning back. We can't get out of this climate.
Well, you know, they say we've heard this so much. Pay attention to the science. Okay, so here we go. Paris Accord, the only country that met the requirement was the U.S. last year in September, reported they dropped their CO2 emissions since the Paris Accord was signed by 2.9%. No one even dropped over 1% except the U.S. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the point I want to make is the 7% drop in CO2 emissions is in the Northern Hemisphere, not the Southern. So this is just the Northern Hemisphere. They rotate differently. So we have a weather system that travels west to east, and the south is east to west. So having said that, what's happened because of COVID and everyone being, shut in, no cars, no CO2, and Mother Nature, we talked about this back in March. So mm-hmm. February, March, and then in April, it cleared. Cities all over the Northern Hemisphere lost all the massive fog, and Beijing could see the Himalayas for the first time in 30 years, and so on, and story after story after story. And the amazing thing is Mother Nature did it so quickly, so effectively, but more importantly, it only took a drop of 7% of the CO2 to happen. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So, mm-hmm. 93% of the CO2 that was out there before COVID is still there, and the atmosphere in the Northern Hemisphere is clear. Boy, did they get that science wrong.
Yeah. Well, the Global Carbon Project is a group of international scientists who track emissions, and in a study published Thursday in the journal Earth System Science Data, the researchers write that preliminary figures show the world will have put 37 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the air during 2020. That's down from 40 billion in 2019. So biggest drop ever. The decrease is due, of course, to car and plane traveling plummeting. But even with this drop, the world on average put 1,185 tons of heat-trapping carbon dioxide into the air every second this year. So the emissions were reduced 12% in the United States, 11% in Europe, and 1% in China. So what a deal, man.
Well, if I may, a final comment I'll have to make on this one is the secularists, and that's what, but that's what they are. They're running the world now. They only believe in the greatness of man, not in any greater God. You know, they become a cult. And here's why, folks. They become a cult because now they've told you the world's going to end. Yeah. And, you know, when you have people in religions, because every religion in the world, from the Hindu religion, the Buddhist religion, philosophers, the Muslim, the Catholic, the Jewish religion, all in their writings, there's an end of times. So, you know, this has been happening for 5,000 years, you know, end of times, next week, next month, on Saturday at 6 o'clock. You know, you can go through Carlson and the Heaven's Gate situation, all this stuff. And the bottom line is, so the secularists run by the left are declaring the end of the world and the end of mankind. So now they become a religious cult. And when you start saying that the end of times are here and the end of the world is coming, you are deeply up to here with absolute frivolous, you know, suggestions, especially after what we've seen the planet do with COVID in 3 months.
All right, our last story of the day, atheists get triggered by Wisconsin Christmas tree, Shane. This is a great story here that...
It is.
Yeah, Governor Tony Evers, who's a Democrat in Wisconsin, decided not to put a tree in the rotunda this year because he's ending a 100-year tradition and blamed his decision on the China virus. That's the reason why. Call it a holiday tree. We call it a Christmas tree, of course. And so anyway, the Republicans decided to ask permission to haul out the holly and deck the rotunda with some Yuletide spirit in spite of the government's decision. It's a 100-year tradition. State bureaucrats turned down their request, so the lawmakers bought their own Christmas tree and set it up in the middle of the rotunda. So Christmas is alive in the Wisconsin state capitol, thanks to the Republicans who still believe in you know, the Christian celebration of Christmas.
The great part of this story, too, is one senator, one member of the House of the State House of Wisconsin. They go in, they put this tree up and decorate it, and then they sign an order. They sign an order like the governor did, saying it cannot be taken down without first speaking to them. Yeah. So, you know, it's great. Finally, you know, you get a little bit of a ear. Let me give you one of these, you know, and we'll see what the governor does, because like everything else, it's been a mess. So we'll see what happens.
That it has. It has been a mess. So, all right. Before we leave, we're going to take some time off from the show. We're going to take off till the first of the year. We come back, we may not be on every day. We're talking about, Shane and I have been talking back and forth about changes we need to make in the show to attract more people, whether it'll be we'll cover fewer topics but in more detail, whether the shows will be shorter or longer or whatever. So anyway, we're going to take a couple weeks and try and figure that out as to, you know, what we can do to bring more people in, because we've tried different time zone or times of day, we're just not attracting an audience like we had hoped we would. But, that's on us. If we were doing something that people wanted to watch, they'd be watching. So we need to make some kind of change here to improve and attract more viewers on YouTube and on Facebook as well. So that's where we are. But we will, of course, continue to be on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Click listen now at KMMSAM.com. And of course, you can watch or listen to our past shows, including the Saturday shows. Go over to KMMSAM.com. And again, you don't have to sign up for anything to watch anything or whatever. And if you're on YouTube, hey, comment, like us, subscribe. We need subscribers. So that's another thing that we had hoped would happen, but didn't. We're going to work on that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And say goodbye, Shane.
Well, you all. Those of you that have been here and with us since April 6th know my rant at the end of the show. So before I give my final farewell, I want to thank all of you, Craig, Linda, you know, Karen, all of you that have tuned in and been loyal to us. We're incredibly grateful. This has been a truly wonderful opportunity to create forever moments with all of you live and on the web, on TV, if you want, on the radio. So it's a great life experience. And it's something I always wanted to do in my life and got the opportunity. Can't thank the Eagle Man more than anyone else because he's directed, produced, and bear the burden of the cost of setting all this up. And I am truly grateful to him, as I'm sure all of you have been. So anybody out there, like Craig, that if I've offended you, it wasn't personal. It was just a challenge on content and information. That's all, just so we could have a back and forth. And we thought that kind of issue would create more interest with people to watch. But like Thomas said, regrettably, it didn't catch. Personality, the way we look. I sort of liked our hats. And I started out with ties and a white shirt and ended up with a white shirt and a vest. But it's been a real joy. And I'm going to miss all of you. And certainly we'll hope you'll catch us on Saturday. Most of you will, because that's where you have initially came from. So be happy, be safe. Merry Christmas. A happy new year to you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Live in the moment, because every moment at Christmas is a forever one, and every moment at New Year's is too. Live to work. Come home happy. Your family needs you. They need you home happy. And we are fortunate that we're blessed in Canada, the United States. We got an ocean on either side of us to protect us from everyone, at least for the moment. And hopefully that'll hold up. So again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. And thank goodness, right at the moment, we live in the two best country clubs in the world. Kiss and a wish of love and joy to all of you.
All right. I second that emotion. Thanks, Shane, very much. And as I say, we're not going away permanently for sure, but we're going to regroup a little bit and hopefully come back at the first of the year with something that more people will like. So, hey, I want to thank everybody, too. Thanks for the support of the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the comments you've given us over the years. You've given us something you think about and talk about, and in many cases you're the driving force of the show, because we're guessing at what you want to hear here, and so we need to be better guessers. So we're going to work on that, and for the time being at least, we will see everybody tomorrow on radio at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, and after the new year. Bye for now.
Linda, give us a call tomorrow, please.